Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my conscious friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. So welcome, welcome, welcome to a part two episode of a continuation on a very, I would say, intense subject. And the subject that we spoke about last month is human trafficking. So we're going to continue the conversation tonight and expand on it and really look at this topic from a conscious point of view, like we did last time, and really look at where it limits us in terms of approaching this as a fear-based topic, as a fear-based dilemma, as a fear-based entire situation that people end up going through. And what would it be like to really look at it from a different point of view, from a conscious point of view of awareness, choice, and possibilities? What is something about this topic that we can look at from this different point of view that could change it for us substantially? And why not go there? Why not look at it from this point of view and see what we discover? So anything you take from this topic tonight of our discussion, I would encourage you to be with it and to really look at showing up to the world in a way that allows it to be from the space of consciousness. And again, from awareness, choice, and possibility. So here's the thing. A lot of times when we're dealing with human trafficking, we're also dealing with gaslighting. And that's something I spoke about last time. And I'm not going to go into too much of the details on that, but just, again, bringing that energy and that awareness of gaslighting, which has been a numerous topic on the show from before. So just notice as you're showing up and hearing the information tonight, this whole space of gaslighting and where the people doing the human trafficking are also most likely using the gaslighting. So just wanted to bring that to your awareness and tap into that frequency as well. So let me give you a brief overview of what human trafficking is. And this comes from the Homeland Security website. So human trafficking is modern day slavery. It involves the use of force, fraud, or cohesion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked and in cities and countries around the world, including the United States. It is estimated that human trafficking generates many, many billions of dollars of profit per year, second only to drug trafficking. Amazing. As the most profitable form of transnational crime. So human trafficking is a hidden crime as victims rarely come forward to seek help. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're really looking to get clear on what these, you know, help people to really find ways to step forward in a light way, to seek help because of the language barriers, fear of the traffickers, and fear of law enforcement. Those are the limitations here that we're up against. So traffickers use force, fraud, or cohesion to lure their victims and force them into labor or commercial sexual exploitation. They look for people who are susceptible for a variety of reasons, including psychological and emotional vulnerability, economic hardship, lack of social safety, and natural disasters or political instability. So tonight, not only will we be coming from a different point of view, we are looking to be following the energy of the show and really bring to you a fresh point of view, as I said, on this topic. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our guest who spoke on this topic with me last time, and that's Liz Tupling. And let me, as I usually do, formally invite her on. So Liz is a private practice, integrative psychotherapist and conscious living facilitator with an office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. And in her work, she's dedicated to guiding individuals, families, and organizations towards more fulfilling relationships and life experiences. Working with a broad range of clients, Liz uses an integrative treatment style to assist people in moving toward emotional wholeness and connectedness while helping people better understand the role of their individual histories, contributions, and choices. She offers a therapeutic approach that encompasses the mind, body, spirit in its totality. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome on Liz Tupling. Hi, Liz.
Hello, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Yes, welcome back, and welcome back to this topic that we started with last time. Like, wow, I mean, it's so intense. Yeah, it's a topic that we definitely can contribute to by looking at it from a conscious point of view.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's bring that awareness.
Let's bring it on. So
sure,
I know
sure.
I started with, the space of this idea of fear-based. You know, even just bringing this topic to the show can bring up a lot of fear in people, maybe not in terms of the specific content we're sharing, but more of like when looking at the topic and thinking that this exists, people go into like, oh, my gosh, it's a horrible thing, and we really need to be afraid of what could happen out in the world with these concerns. And maybe that's a good place for us to start. And then we can move into the actual content related to the actual human trafficking.
Sure, because I think, Dr. Sarah, everyone can remember a time in their lives where, or at least connect with the idea, relate to the idea, in which they felt that they didn't have choice when they were scared and they were fearful and felt like they had to participate in something, or if they didn't participate in something, their options in life would be limited. And so I think all of us have potentially encountered those scenarios where we were scared. The topic's relatable, and then obviously we'll get into exactly what this entails when someone is lured into a human trafficking scenario, but very relatable on some level, you know, to everyone who's experienced fear and who has doubted their ability to choose.
Absolutely. And then it's the ones that we love too, that we go into fear with, the fear of it happening to someone like a child or to a friend, or this idea of it's kind of outside of ourselves that it could happen to others, which is a lot of times an anticipation of something bad to happen, which is really the definition of fear and anxiety to begin with, is this almost outside in fear or an anticipation of it happening, versus what we'll be looking at tonight is really about, with awareness, you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. However, you then can come to a place where you can ask, what are my choices here? And when you are willing and really willing to look at something, then you're no longer in the dark with it. You no longer have to be in fear of it, because right away you can be, oh, it's good to be aware. I have choices no matter what. Even in the future, I will have choice.
And therein is the linchpin of all of this. It's right in the center of this unfortunate societal phenomenon of trafficking, is awareness and choice. And how much do both of those combine bring power to an individual's life?
Yes. Wow. So what if we kind of dive right into it, Liz, in terms of looking at that from a way of people showing up to this topic in terms of the exposure to someone experiencing the trafficking or any signs that we can share, indications that would be helpful, or the psychological ramifications? Would that be something, anything you're aware of as I say that or like to speak to?
For sure. I think that, you know, sometimes we can get in and stay and get in and stay in our own little bubble, Dr. Sarah, and kind of be immune to these things. And they're definitely happening out there. And we definitely have vulnerable populations of people who are susceptible to trafficking. And even just you and I talking before the show, we were discussing, you know, some things that clients share with us. And certainly all of our clients bring and make such huge contributions to our lives as they make us aware of really so many things that are happening out there in the world. And what I've become aware of through different clients is that the fact that even in the state of Michigan, Dr. Sarah, there are pockets of human trafficking activity up and down, like a little bit more remote and rural highways between the Detroit area and, say, you know, Grand Rapids, which is a large stretch of highway, obviously, but pockets where there's small towns and there's not a lot of opportunity for employment or economic, you know, growth or the ability to thrive. And young people aren't really doing a lot and they don't have a lot of opportunity. And traffickers are really, really becoming very predatory in those small towns. The very fortunate thing, though, is that at least here in the Detroit area, Homeland Security Investigations, in one of its divisions, which is commonly referred to as ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, is on top of it and is, yes, absolutely, and is very involved in investigations and kind of circling the wagon, so to speak, around some of these small towns where young people have become vulnerable to such, you know, predatory initiatives. So that's reassuring to know, but it's definitely happening in our very small rural communities.
Yeah, and it's great. There is that, but the organization of that or the support of that out there, that we are looking at it from a proactive and way of approaching it and seeing the signs. And I'm so grateful to know, based on what you're even sharing, Liz, that exists. And a lot of people may not even know that exists at this point.
Absolutely. There is a very active, what is referred to as a victim assistance program. I think, you know, it's just acronym is VAP, that the state governments have available to the victims. So once they are taken into custody and they're removed from the ring, my understanding is that there's an entire process of at least kind of debriefing the victim. And getting them access to services that allow them to begin to emotionally and physically and in every way, you know, start a path toward recovery from years of the abuse. So it's nice to know that obviously that's available through the Victims Assistance Program.
Yeah, and I'm sure people, the listeners, can look up if they're from a different state, probably just look at their own government website or Homeland Security website for their state to find out more information. I'm sure if you Google human trafficking in your city or state, you can find out some of those information. So I would encourage people to do that as well. And probably we do have a human trafficking hotline. It's a 1-866-347-2423. Is the number. So I'm sure that number could probably be a contribution as well to look up or to find information in your location. So I just put out there, since we're kind of looking at it from that point of view right in this moment. So it's good information to know that exists.
Yes.
And I know when
Absolutely.
We were also chatting, Liz, is this idea of, and this comes, this acronym actually originally comes from a set of tools of the Access Consciousness that you and I have talked about on the show before, and I actively use with clients. And I've, certainly as Dr. Sarah online, using a lot of Access tools. But there's this acronym that came about called JAIL, and it stands for Judgment, Agenda, Invention, and Lie. So it's the JAILs, Judgment, Agendas, Inventions, and Lies. So a lot of times, this is where individuals may go into this JAIL of not even knowing they're being coerced in or pulled in, that they're looking to either be free of that, and or the perpetrators that are doing the human trafficking are using that as a way to really, I would say, seduce individuals in to a better life and living, but it's a bunch of lies, so to speak. So anything that you're aware of, Liz, with that?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, just the reference to the idea of JAIL and judgments, agendas, mm-hmm. inventions, and lies is helpful for the listeners, because I think it kind of sets the stage for the vulnerability that is almost required so that the predatory efforts can be successful. So, and in that vulnerability, or that, I guess, the ability to kind of buy the lies is layer upon layer upon layer of confusion. It's not clear to that individual who's being seduced that that the lies are even lies.
Yes.
Right? Because a lot of these young folks who are lured into trafficking activities, many of them potentially do come from compromised situations at home, where there was already kind of a history of perhaps, you know, physical abuse, emotional abuse, at a minimum, maybe neglect. And things were really confusing in their upbringings. And so these lies, it's not really clear to a person who's about to be seduced that the lie is actually a lie.
Yeah, and that the lie actually may be a promise of something greater, which is the lie, which they're already caught up in the lies of problems that they're in. So they may be already buying lies of their reality, as this is just like that they're unhappy in their world, which is part of the jails to begin with. So like you said, there's layer upon layer that these individuals are already in a vulnerable place, and a lot of these traffickers will look at feeding off of that and promising something greater, which would be an invention, and create an agenda for this person that's greater than where they're at currently. So if they're, you know, maybe an individual that comes from a poor upbringing, that the traffickers could promise better, you know, life or more money. Who knows what they could do to seduce them in, but it's a false promises. So you're right. They're confused to begin with because they're not really clear on their own space of what it is to live from a place of choice and possibilities and something greater. They just go, they're looking for someone almost to save them from that, possibly. You know, there's a lot of things I could see that would be, could be used here as part of the brainwashing, or it goes back to that gaslighting, ways for people to be seduced into this space.
Oh, for sure. And it could certainly be positioned to someone as, well, this is your way out. This is your ticket out.
Yes.
Right. So one of the stories that I was reading before we started the show, Dr. Sarah, was I was on the ICE website, and I was reading some of the survivor stories, and on the victim assistance program's website. And they were just, some of these stories were bone chilling, and they were referencing, you know, the actual luring and how these, you know, these young people would be working in very menial, low paying jobs, and someone would walk in, and oftentimes it wasn't even the trafficker. It was maybe the girlfriend of the trafficker, a friend of the trafficker. But a lot of times traffickers will use females to go into a particular setting and get other females. So they're kind of like the bait, and you know, and so young girls might really relate to that girl. And there can be a lot of promises. And, you know, one of the gals was lured out of a job that she had in a hair salon, and the trafficker's girlfriend came in and basically promised her everything. You know, and then brought her into what she describes in her statement to ICE as a living hell, in which she was abused for days on end, months on end.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So it's just really to be in the awareness that some, like, if you are confronted by someone like that, or if you're finding that someone approaches you, I mean, for those of the listeners in you know, just bringing into awareness, these are some of the indicators. So that's, wow, Liz, that's really powerful representation of what that could look like. And I sense that also brings up, too, this area where fear can come in, as well as where it is to report these kinds of incidences, that a lot of times it's important not to confront the trafficker, but find ways to report it, probably to a organization like ICE, or the way they're showing up to this, and not it's not through fear, but being able to express it and being willing to do that, knowing that it's going to contribute to something greater. Because I too had someone that had shared with me a story, or basically ended up having to confront through legal means a lot of these traffickers. And you have to remember, this is for the greater good of everyone involved. So whatever you're choosing to do in the midst of something really heavy, not only is it, of course, a contribution to you, it's also a contribution to everyone else suffering in the space of limitation around this human trafficking. So that kind of brings in another piece to this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And just to be in the awareness of the possibility that this is, it exists, it's ongoing, and it's kind of like, you know, when we're trained as mandated reporters, right? To always err on the side of caution. We don't have to prove that something in terms of abuse and neglect is happening. We simply have to suspect. And I think at this point, you know, with something like this, if in terms of making that contribution that you're talking about, Dr. Sarah, it's not necessary to go on some huge detective fact-finding mission and put yourself in danger. But if you're aware of it and there's a suspicion of it, then you've probably met the threshold for talking to somebody about it and going to, you know, a government authority and raising some awareness and bringing attention to it.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And it also then, because of this awareness on it now and everything we're speaking to, that it's more receivable in terms of it being an importance, that you're likely to be heard when you speak up about this. There's enough people that have come forward. There's enough people advocating for something greater that you no longer have to be even in the fear of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, even if you suspect a little bit and you see some of these signs and indicators, again, the indicators of human trafficking can be found on the Homeland Security website. There's a number of them that you can look at. But even if you see a couple of them, I mean, I'm even looking at them right in this moment. Like, does the person have bruises in various stages of healing? Does the person show signs of having denied food, water, sleep? Some of these signs, it can't hurt to report if you suspect it happening to someone or to yourself. I mean, certainly, whatever you can do to advocate and move towards a space of something greater, I say choose it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You never know where your choice could take someone else or yourself. In what road and path it could put them on, because even if it's not the path toward getting someone out of a human trafficking situation, but it is to bring awareness and help to someone who is being abused or neglected, it still all is a huge contribution. It really all, it truly, truly is.
Absolutely. And that does bring up a point of other things could be happening at the time. It may not just be the human trafficking. So it's really important in terms of our awareness to be also in the question, like, what is this right now? What am I picking up on? What am I noticing for myself or for this other person? Or that question, being in the question, is part of creation, and it's also part of consciousness that will allow for more awareness to come in. And you've heard me speak numerous times about living in the question and being in the question, and I know, Liz, you and I have talked about it as well, but just being in the question alone can be a contribution to looking at this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Life-changing.
Yeah, and living consciously, and certainly any way that we can be something greater to individuals that may be actually in an unconscious space, because we can choose unconsciously too. And I just spoke about that in a recent video about you can choose in one direction like or another. You can choose from a place of consciousness, or you can choose unconsciously. And this is some of where people just choose unconsciously. They may not be checking into really what is present for them, and they're just going with maybe a initial reaction or a lie or a false promise. So that kind of brings us full circle. But Liz, I'm so grateful that you're on the show again. It flew by. I definitely going to have you on again. I would think we'll be choosing another topic to play with. But I'm so grateful for the direction this went tonight with the continuation of this topic of human trafficking. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I'll look forward to having you back on soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, so our question of the week is the same from the last show that we spoke about the human trafficking, and that is, how aware of human trafficking are you? So how aware of human trafficking are you? So feel free to add a comment. I will be posting the question of the week, as I usually do, on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. So I would love to hear what awareness you gained from that question, or just be in the question of that, and to see what you notice. And if there's anything that resonated on the show, please be present with that. And you know the clearing tools that we've used, the deep breath in and release everything on the exhale, or PONPOC. Anything that comes in for you as a listener that's heavy. So now, next week's show, I am so excited because it's a little different than our usual shows. I'm going to have two guests on next week, and we are going to be talking about an amazing topic of beauty and a very different point of view on what beauty is from a very conscious space. So I'm so excited to have these two individuals on, these two ladies, Sarah Granadetti and Cassie Summers, will be joining me, and they go by Sassy. How does it get any better than that? And I am so looking forward to exploring this topic and really looking at it from a place of beauty being so much greater than what we've reduced it to in this reality. So that will be on Monday, May the 20th at 6 p.m. And I would like to, once again, close out the show by thanking my guest, Liz Tupling, for joining us again on this amazing topic, this controversial topic of human trafficking. And what I'm grateful for is that Liz and I, delving into topics that usually wouldn't come across in a way that we can look at it from a conscious point of view. So thank you, Liz, for being part of that journey with me. And I want to thank you, the listeners, for your dedication, for your presence on the show. Wow, what a contribution you are. I couldn't do it without you. Now, I'd also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host. Week after week, wow, what an amazing journey this has been for me. And I'm so amazed by everything that results from this and your amazingness that you contribute to the show. Again, thank you. And just remember, go forth this week knowing I have your back, knowing that being you and the difference that you be is the difference this world requires and desires. So go forth, my conscious friends, and I look forward to talking to you again next time. Bye for now.